Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael on The Savage Nation. You can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And don't forget, we got lots of stories up at michaelsavage.com. I'm going to be hitting a lot of those in the program today. And, of course, the big news that you know, starting January the 2nd, Savage Nation, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the big drive time move. Do not miss a minute of it. Make sure you know where and when you can listen to The Savage Nation. Hey, this hour, of course, we've got to hit what's going on with Obamacare, but we're not going to talk about it all the time. We're going to get you up to date on the stuff you need to know. We're going to get you some of the audio, take your thoughts on it, give you mine, and then we got other stuff to hit, too. Horrible story coming out of Nevada, Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada. Two dead, two injured in a shooting at the middle school, and one teacher has been killed, and the teacher was trying to stop the student. The teacher, a Marine, and now in the National Guard. We're going to get into the details of what happened there and what might have made it end better. Speaking of the military, we've got something going on in Afghanistan. The top Afghan Special Forces commander defected to the Taliban and took his guns and high-tech equipment with him. Oh, took the whole unit's guns and high-tech equipment with him. Somebody remind me again, why are we still in Afghanistan? We're going to get you that. And a couple of Boy Scout leaders in big trouble for what they did at a state park. It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, michaelsavage.com as well. Let's get right to it with the Obamacare stuff. All right, so President Obama comes out and he has his speech today. his no excuses speech. Listen, no excuses. But we've been having a little bit of trouble. We'll admit there was a little bit of trouble. And but he said, you know, it's just so popular. There's just so many people. This was the original thing. It was so popular. So many people logging in. There was nothing we could do. But now we find out there's all kinds of problems. And technology is like 10 years old, is what they're trying to tell us. They did a no-bid contract to a company that probably shouldn't have done it. There were other better companies to do it, but they were afraid that they might be subpoenaed by the Republicans? What? I mean, it's just crazy. They didn't test the thing adequately. They knew it wasn't ready. And Kathleen Sebelius has been refusing to even show up to testify on a congressional committee. Oh, but she will next week now. Now, next week, she's going to be there, guys. Hold on. Unless she gets hit in the head. Remember when Hillary Clinton got hit in the head before the Benghazi testimony? She might fall down and get hit in the head. We don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on it. And she's going to a gala for the Kennedy Center in Boston the night before she was supposed to testify in front of a congressional committee. But she's too busy. She is working nonstop, 24-7, to get this thing working. Except, did you know that Friday night she was in Kansas City watching a Bonnie Raitt concert? I kid you not. But she's a very important, very busy lady. You know, she's from Kansas. I guess she was visiting some people at home and saw Bonnie Raitt was on. Let's give them something to talk about. Well, we got something to talk about. It's Obamacare, and it sucks. I bet it was a good concert, though. I do like Bonnie Raitt. She's still good. She can still jam. And she says now, next week, she definitely will. She'll definitely be there. I love this, though, okay? Remember how Obamacare is supposed to be so awesome? Healthcare.gov is going to be so easy to sign up. I mean, it's going to be awesome. He is now telling people today that the website's down for a while, but don't worry, you can still apply by mail. By what? By mail! You know, well, listen, the Postal Service is underworked right now. They are hemorrhaging money. We got to get some things in the mail. Is this 1955? Are we going back to the... Should we put it in the Pony Express? Oh, he said, or you can apply over the phone. How about fax? Could I fax it in? 1997 calling! Are you kidding? And here's the thing, too. Don't get too caught up in the so-called glitches of the healthcare.gov website. I don't care if this website all of a sudden tomorrow works perfectly. The real problem is Obamacare itself and what it's doing to your health insurance, your doctor, your premiums, your job, your hours at work, your salary, all those things are going to be the big problems. That's way more important than the idea of whether or not the website is working perfectly right now. I mean, let's just be clear on that. But for now, that's what they want to talk about. So he said, you can apply over the phone. You can apply by mail. Let's hear President Obama, a little bit of him. This is Cut 10, President Obama in the Rose Garden earlier today.
Of course, you've probably heard that healthcare.gov, the new website where people can apply for health insurance and browse and buy affordable plans in most states, hasn't worked as smoothly as it was supposed to work. And the number of people who visited the site has been overwhelming, which has aggravated some of these underlying problems. Despite all that, thousands of people are signing up and saving money as we speak.
Really? How many? Oh, we can't tell you. Can you give us a ballpark? Thousands. Anything closer than that? No. That have actually, wait, you said thousands are signing up. Have they actually received a confirmation that they now have the health insurance, or are they just signing up and waiting? Well, we can't tell you. What do you mean? You can tell us that 19 million unique visitors have arrived. You can tell us how many hits there were. You can tell us 500,000 have now applied, supposedly, or in some form of applying, but you can't tell us how many actually now have Obamacare? No. Why? There's only two options. Both are bad. One is they're tracking so bad, they can't even tell you how many actually have Obamacare insurance now. That's another, quote, glitch in the website, which I don't believe. Or the more embarrassing thing is, so few have actually been able to really get Obamacare out of 19 million unique hits that they don't want to tell you. They don't want to tell you. That's how bad it is. That's not good. That's a big problem. But, that, you know, like I say, that's just one small problem. That's not the bigger problem you really need to worry about. The bigger problem? Oh, doubling your premium. Being one of the thousands who have been kicked off of their health insurance. Not getting the doctor that you really want. Getting your hours cut to below 30 because your employer doesn't want to have to pay the fine. Oh, wait, it's a tax. Remember, it has to be a tax or it's unconstitutional. Can't call it a fine anymore. Although, of course, Obama told Stephanopoulos when it was passed that it was a fine, not a tax, and anybody who said it was a tax was a lying conservative piece of you-know-what on the radio. But now when he went in front of the Supreme Court, they had to say that it was a tax. So in order for Supreme Court Justice Roberts to make that ridiculous ruling, it's now a tax, and that makes it okay to force you to buy something you don't want to buy. But, of course, the problem is you can't really buy it right now because the healthcare.gov site doesn't work, and when you call the number that he gave out, you either got a busy signal, a recording, or you got referred back to the website. But other than that, it is working great. Like I said, that isn't working as smoothly as we thought. That's an understatement. But don't worry. They're bringing in some people from the private sector. Now they're bringing in people from the private. And they're bringing in the best and the brightest in the tech sector. And they're going to do a tech surge. You really want to use the word surge? That's a war term. Surge. Hey, at least Bush's Iraq surge worked. And you were against it. You said you didn't think that surge was a good idea. This one's working now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is, he didn't really tell you the details of why this thing wasn't working. Didn't really tell you how they're going to fix it. Just said, like, oh, we got a tech surge. Didn't really get to the meat of the problem here. And here's the kicker to me. Listen to this. He brought out 13 people to the Rose Garden. 13 human props that were supposed to be telling you how great it was to get this Obamacare, right? He's had 3 weeks now, 13 people. Guess how many have actually successfully registered for Obamacare out of those 13? According to the White House's own information, Byron York did the research on this out of the Washington Examiner. Out of 13 human props up on that stage with President Obama, including the lady who fainted, almost fainted, only three have successfully registered so far. He couldn't even get 13 people up there who had actually signed up successfully. He's only got three for his infomercial for Obamacare. Look, it's more than just the website. It can chop, it can slice, it can dice. Hey, and wait, if you order now, there's more. No, you can't order now. That's the problem. All right, well, if you order in the mail, we'll send you back a coupon for more someday. Maybe. Peter Sutterman over at Reason.com. that just a few weeks ago, Obama was telling people the exchanges would be as simple to use as Amazon or an online travel reservation like Kayak.com. Now he says, call us on the phone or send us the mail. That's what the speech was. It was to tell you how great it was if you could actually sign up for it. He's still touting all these great things about it. If only you could sign up for it, and you'll be able to by calling this number, but then the line was busy and you couldn't get through and you referred back to the website that shut down. But eventually this is going to work. Byron York said, all right, here's Pennsylvania man, Malik Hassan. Malik, this is from the White House website. Malik Hassan works at a restaurant in Philadelphia. Hassan, who does not receive coverage through his employers, looking forward to enrolling for health coverage this fall. He recently used healthcare.gov to process his application and is waiting for the options. So he's not signed up. And this is your success story? Yeah. Then there's Nathaniel Hajnaki. He recently received a master's degree at Johns Hopkins University and is in an employment situation without benefits. But this guy has a master's degree from Johns Hopkins and he can't get a job with health benefits? Holy cow. He recognizes the importance of coverage and is planning to enroll after he explores his coverage options on the DC exchange. So he hasn't even been able to see the options. You know what? A lot of doctors haven't been able to see what they're going to get in paid and reimbursements either, and so they haven't signed up. Oh, this thing's going great. Ladwana Russell is the owner of a business, a consulting company in Alexandria. She's proud to offer her employees health insurance, but it can be difficult for a small business, and she believes the Affordable Care Act provides stability for her and her employees and is exploring what new coverage options will be available to her. None of these people are signed up. These people are using it. Well, three of them are. Three out of the 13, supposedly. I don't know if I believe it. I mean, they can only get three out of 13 people up at the Rose Garden who actually have signed up for it? Even Consumer Reports is saying stay away from healthcare.gov for at least another month. I mean, you know, what's the point in really going to it anyway? It's not working. And so now they're going after Kathleen Sebelius. Well, I'm going to get you the details on this whole Kathleen Sebelius thing, but I also want to get you. Jay Carney probably had his worst press conference ever. I almost feel sorry for the guy because, you know, he can only say what they tell him to say. And he was asked, now, wait a second, how can you tax people because they didn't buy a product that they can't buy because when they go to buy it, it doesn't work? I'll let you hear what Jay Carney said in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael on the Savage Nation. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. Coming up here in just a little bit, I'm going to get into that teacher that was shot and killed. There are actually two dead, two injured in the shooting at the Nevada Middle School, and all the details on that and what might have changed that story. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, we're telling you what happened with the whole Obamacare thing. And after President Obama's infomercial in the Rose Garden, out came Jay Carney, the White House guy, to give a little, you know, press briefing. And John Carl from ABC. I mean, they're losing ABC. They're losing CNN. They're even losing MSNBC with these reporters that have tried to sign up for Obamacare. Oh, man, they're in trouble. It's not just Fox News anymore. So John Carl is asking here in cut three about this whole idea of, you know, taxing people for not buying something they can't buy. Here we go.
John. Let me make sure I've got that last part right. So, can we just say, given all the problems that we've seen with people trying to enroll in this program, is the White House going to be delaying the mandate?
That's not at all what I was saying.
Why not delay? I mean, you're going to charge people a fine for not enrolling.
So why not? And he kept going, but Carney talked over him, and they can't enroll. I mean, how can you do that? Cut four, he follows up.
You can't really charge people a fine for not getting health insurance if you don't fix this mess.
John, let me get
my website work, can you?
You can't, can you? And he won't answer. And every time Carney falls back in his talking points about how this is going to be great and people are going to love it and we got to focus on the positives, Carney won't let him go. Cut five.
I appreciate what you're saying, and
I have answered now and will answer again. That people who
do...
Let me start, if
the website's not fixed, will people still have to pay the fine?
First of all, we're way still early in the process. So you're talking about a February 15th and a March 31st deadline. It is October 21st today. So let's be clear about that. We're 3 weeks into this.
So they won't answer. No, it's a lot more than that, because you've got to get this done in time for the insurance companies to start ramping up and gathering all the information and actually getting it and collecting all the premiums and everything. No, this thing is worse than a train wreck. It is worse than a train wreck. It's not going to work. But here's the part that really they can't tell you, and I will tell you. There is no way that President Obama will delay the individual mandate. Because if he does, the whole thing falls apart. Because, see, the whole point of the individual mandate is to force you, if you're healthy and young, to buy it. Because you buying it and not using any health care is what's going to provide the money for everybody else. Now, here's the other big problem with that. Who's willing to hang on hold for a long, long time? Somebody who's sick. Somebody who has a pre-existing condition. Somebody who really needs this. Who's not willing to hang on for a very long time? A 22-year-old healthy kid who's about to go play some video games. That's who's not going to hang on for a long time. So the sick people are going to sign up. They're going to use the health care. The healthy people aren't, and it is a big problem. Well, yeah, but Greg, but at least those sick people get to sign up. There were all kinds of ways we could help them sign up. We have high-risk health pools in the states already. We could have made those even better. Right? I mean, we could have allowed health insurance to be sold across state lines. We could have increased the health savings account that can only be used for health care in order to not be taxed on it. We could have had tort reform to stop defensive medicine. We could have had all kinds of ways to help the situation. But no, instead we're doing this. So he can't delay the individual mandate. The only thing he could do that he might have to do is delay the entire thing.
Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com. We'll get into this horrific shooting at a Nevada middle school in just a moment, but so many of you want to chime in on what's been going on with Obamacare and the failure that it is. I want to get a couple of you in quickly. Let's start with Tom. Tom, you. Let's go to Robin. Robin, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's... All right. We may be having some trouble with the phones. We will work on that and get back to you. Oh, okay. Let's try one more time with six with Tom? All right. Let's go to Angelo. Let's go to Angelo, line one. Angela, go right ahead. Doing well. Doing fine.
Hi, my name is Angelo, and I'm glad to be on board today. This is the first time call. I listen to the radio a lot. And I just want to explain to you what's going on really quick. This is my situation. I'm 55, and I'm an American. I'm a conservative, and I haven't had health care in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't vote for Obama, but I thought it was a joke from the beginning. I make $1,825 a month. I just got the letter from my boss offering me health care. For me, my wife, and my son is $1,695 a month. You believe?
Ouch.
I said no.
Yeah.
Who has that kind of money to do that? That's 92% of my salary. And this is based on my salary from the Oxford Medical Group. I think they're a subsidy right now of Obamacare, but I laughed at my, I told my boss, you know, you got to be out of your mind to offer this. This is impossible. So I had to turn him down. I guess I'm just going to have to pay the fine, because I know it wasn't going to work from the beginning.
Angel, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Thanks for getting in. I'm sorry to hear that, and we're hearing a lot of stories like that. We had Tom that couldn't make it in here, but he was telling us that what's going on is these federal exchanges are not working, and the only way people are actually getting signed up for Obamacare is to do it through the state exchanges. The states that set up their own exchanges, that's the only way people are actually getting signed up. Whoa. Tells you an awful lot. And we had another caller say, I called the line and tried to get in, and even they couldn't tell me all the offerings that were supposed to be in my state. So even when I got to a live person, they couldn't tell me what I could actually get. Let me get, is it Hugh on line 9? Get Hugh in there. Hugh, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here.
I agree with you. It's not about really, like signing up for Obamacare. That's not the real issue here. I've been paying Obamacare taxes for the past 2 years because my company, because of the premium changes, they have been taxing me. Like, for example, I used to get health care through my company. They used to pay for my health care for me and my family because I've been with them for like 10 years. But since Obamacare entered the picture, they started charging me like $40 every paycheck, which is twice a week. I mean, which is every 2 weeks. So really, I'm paying $90 a month now for my health care, which I don't mind paying. $90 isn't that much money. But it's still a tax because it's because of Obamacare they did that.
Yeah, and that's happening more and more. Thanks for the call. And, you know, in other places, the people don't understand. They're trying to get you under 30 hours. Well, if you have enough people who are working part-time, they add those people up together and count them as full-timers. So some of these places that are fully staffed by part-timers, they're all of a sudden acting like they have all these full-timers. They're having to let people go because they can't afford it or pay the fine because they can't afford it. All this is really going to start coming down hard on people. I appreciate all the great calls. I got to move on because we're going to get back to this later on in the program, but we got a lot of different stories I want to hit today. And here's one in Sparks, Nevada. Sparks Middle School. Two dead, two injured. What happened was a student showed up on campus but not inside the building early in the morning. And it was on the basketball court. They said they heard a pop, like a loud pop. This is Kyle Newcomb, 13-year-old student, telling the Reno Gazette Journal. Everybody was screaming. The teacher came to investigate. I thought it was a firecracker, but the student was pointing a gun at the teacher. The teacher told him to put it down. The student fired a shot at the teacher. The teacher fell, and everybody ran away. And we ran across the field to get somewhere safe. And while we were running, we heard about four or five more shots, and we just got somewhere safe. A lady led us into her house. Now, the teacher who was killed is math teacher Michael Lansbury. He's a 45-year-old military veteran, former Marine, still in the Guard, just celebrated his wedding anniversary 3 days ago. The Police Department Deputy Chief Tom Robinson said, "My estimation is that he is a hero." His sister-in-law said, "To hear that he was trying to stop this is not surprising." She said his life could be summed up by his love of family, his students, and his country. And here's the comment I have to start with. Before all the gun control nuts do their knee-jerk reaction saying this is another reason for gun control, here is a trained military man, and the only thing he could do to stop this child was ask him to put the gun down. Because we have made the school a, quote, gun-free zone. You know, except for the people who are willing to kill you. Well, but, you know, hey, there can't be any school shootings. I mean, school shootings, there can't be any because we made it illegal to have a gun at school. So therefore, obviously, there's no more guns at school. Except for the people who are willing to kill you. See, this is the ridiculousness of liberalism, which is why Dr. Savage calls it a mental disorder. The idea that if you just make something illegal, it won't happen anymore, and therefore you can ignore any of the consequences from these acts, is a form of mental disorder. Oh, we passed the law. Oh, we made it illegal. There's no guns on school grounds anymore. You know, what are you saying? There's someone who is willing to murder people, and somehow you think that he's not willing to break your law on bringing a gun to school. Does that make any sense? You know, this is why quite often police officers are able to catch serial killers when they're breaking a traffic law. Why? Well, because if you're willing to murder 20 people, you're probably willing to run a stop sign. If you're willing to cut people up into little pieces, you're probably willing to speed. So when you pull them over for those other things, you find out, oh, this is Ted Bundy. But nobody passed the law. So instead of allowing people like math teacher Michael Lansbury, who's a military veteran, who has nothing but the kid's good interest at his heart, instead of allowing him to carry a concealed weapon after being specifically trained for it and specifically background tested for it so that he can protect these children, he had to walk out with his bare hands and nothing to say, son, put the gun down. And he was shot dead. We don't know much more about this. We don't know the motive yet. We do know that the killer then turned the gun on himself. Self-inflicted gunshot wound, and he is dead. He's one of the two dead. Two others were injured. We don't know the motive. But we do know that that military man was not allowed to defend himself because of our policies now, because we have people who are going to tell you, it's a gun-free zone. I mean, why in the world would we want guns on campus? Well, if it's a gun in the hands of the police officer or guns in the hand of a former military man or guns in the hand of a teacher who has been specifically trained to protect our children, there's a school in Texas in the Shamrock Independent School District that has a big sign in the front lawn of that school that says, warning, our teachers are armed to protect our students. Now, I would be willing to wager with you that that school will not have somebody come in and start trying to shoot up the school. Now, most of these people who do this, we find out later, are mentally ill. Right? We find out later they're mentally ill. Some would say by definition to come in and start a mass shooting, you must be mentally ill. But we do find out they're mentally ill. But what we find out is, although they're mentally ill, they're still not stupid. Sometimes people think that if you're mentally ill, you can't reason at all anymore, that you can't plan at all anymore. It's just not true. My background is in mental health counseling. I have a master's in that and did it before I got into radio. And I knew a lot of schizophrenics that would seem and were totally crazy one minute, but the next minute could be helping you with a calculus problem. Now, they're not stupid to know, hey, I'm not going to go there where they're armed and they're going to kill me. I'm going to go over here where it's a gun-free zone so I can take my own life at the end when the cops finally show up. Isn't that how it normally works? So now we have another one. And we're going to be told again that the problem is the guns. If the problem is the guns, how is it that as we've had more guns in this country, we've had gun crime go down over the last 20 years? Does that make any sense to you? I'm so tired of the knee-jerk reaction of saying what we've got to do is have more gun control laws, which are going to do nothing to stop this. Nothing. And we also have to stay, and I know this sounds weird saying it today, but if you look at the statistics, your child is still safer in school than anywhere else, including your home. Did you know that? I mean, really look at the statistics. Now, if you look at the statistics, even with these mass shootings, gun crime and gun homicide is down significantly in the United States of America over the past 20 years when gun ownership has gone to new heights. But the people who are all about trying to take the guns away don't want to listen to what the actual stats are. Why? Doesn't serve their purposes. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Take your calls on that. Also want to tell you about this black-on-white hate crime off the michaelsavage.com website. We'll hit that in just a minute. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. We were talking about the horrific shooting, Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada, and math teacher Michael Lansbury killed, 45-year-old military veteran, shot and killed. Then the shooter did a self-inflicted gunshot wound, killed himself. We don't know any more details, really, than two dead, two injured, and that the teacher tried to stop it. The teacher stepped forward and said, put the gun down, and was killed for trying to do this, and was not, of course, allowed to protect himself. James wants to chime in, line four in Jackson, Mississippi. James, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. We really appreciate the work y'all do on this network. One of the things I wanted to comment on, I actually had a couple comments, if you give me time to do them. During Katrina, when we had Katrina hit, I went down and helped the recovery and stuff, and right after it happened, and you had neighborhoods where people were strapped on guns, and they went around their way of helping and helping their neighbors and everything else. And literally, you didn't have any lawlessness like you had in other parts of the South, specifically New Orleans. And even if we go back in history and look at how guns played a part of our country, the Wild West days only lasted about 12 years, and it had nothing to do with cowboys and Indians. It had to do with lawlessness. And people had fled from the urban areas and went out and tried to raise their families in Christian environments and communities. And the criminal element followed these people. And finally, the communities had to pick up their six guns and form posses and round these desperados up and take things in their own hands. And
yeah, so your point is that you have to be able to protect yourself, and that the Second Amendment is about protecting yourself from your government, and yes, protecting your life from those that wish to do you harm. If you go back and read what the founders wrote about that, that's what it was for. The Second Amendment was not for hunting. Nobody ever questioned that you were going to be able to hunt or whatever. It wasn't for target practice. It was to defend yourself for your life and from your own government. And when you say that, they call you some kind of crazy radical. But that's what it's for. And to take that away from people doesn't make any sense to me. And we're doing it because, well, we want to make the workplace safer. And okay, let's think about that for a second. If you really want to go kill people at your workplace, is a law that your boss puts in or a rule that your boss puts in saying it's a gun-free work zone going to stop that person? That's just stupid. You know, my wife's a teacher. She teaches first grade. And I would love for her to be able to be fully trained and carry a concealed weapon to protect herself just in case. But, of course, they won't let her. I want to at least get her a fire extinguisher in her classroom and say, you know, it's for fire, but it would really be for personal protection if somebody came in to try to harm her and her students. But right now, what does she really have to protect herself? She weighs 110 pounds. What is she going to do? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Off MichaelSavage.com, we've got a Brooklyn group of black youths who got into a bloody beatdown on a white couple. Group of 10 black youths, one of them a 12-year-old girl, surrounded a white couple's car in Brooklyn. The light turned green. They were trying to go. The teens wouldn't get out of the way. He honked his horn, and they started kicking his car. Now, here's where people say he made a mistake. He stopped and got out of his car. Why would you do that? Well, because they were kicking his car and denting it, and he wanted him to stop, and he wanted to check the damage to his car. When he got out, they started beating him, and they started hurling racial epithets at them. Get those crackers, some of them screamed. It's according to the court papers out of the New York Daily News. Get that white whore, talking about his white wife. Wow. So Ronald Russo was dragged to the ground. He was punched. He was kicked in the head. Blows all over his body. Fractured nose. Broken septum. Blood clot and abrasions to his shoulder. Treated at the hospital. They were yelling white MFers at him. His wife was calling 911 when the 12-year-old girl pulled her from the car by her hair, threw her to the ground, her head slammed on the concrete. She got a black eye, bleeding, difficulty breathing. She refused medical attention. Her husband's iPhone was stolen during the melee. And the kids scattered. They were able to arrest two. One says, no, it wasn't me. But, you know, I'm not a guy who says that hate crimes should be a law. I believe that you should be prosecuted for what you did, not for the thoughts in your head. Okay? But if you're going to do it for one side, you need to do it for the other side. And if you're going to try and tell me this wasn't a hate crime based on if you reverse the races on this, it doesn't make any sense. And this is what really drives people crazy. And what was interesting from one of the neighbors in the area said he sees no racial tension in this area, but it's different near the Kings Plaza Mall. And he said, quote, "It's not just a black and white thing. It's stupid teenagers thinking they can do whatever they want." I think he's got something there, and we've all seen that. There are some stupid teenagers who think they can do whatever they want, who think the laws don't apply to them, who thinks if you disrespect me by honking your horn, I have the right to beat you down and destroy your car. And you are seeing that. We're seeing that a lot. Hey, let me get Alan, line 9 in Reno. Alan, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Okay, so Reno is right next to Sparks, so I heard about all this on the news.
Right, quickly.
Now, the point is, my wife and I are both CCW instructors, pretty popular here in the Reno area. And my wife is also a public school teacher and has been.
Gotcha, and you think they should be able to do it too. I'm out of time, but I'm with you on that, and thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. You can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. Got a lot to do in this hour. We're going to update you on what happened at Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada. Shooting, 2 dead, 2 injured. And the math teacher, Michael Lansbury, a 45-year-old military veteran who tried to stop the killing and ended up getting shot dead. We'll get you the details. Big problems with Obamacare. The speech today is Kathleen Sebelius going to be the fall girl. We'll get it to you. And then at about 35 after, we're going to get you into what's going on with Fast and Furious. It's not just the guns anymore, but a related situation of grenades walking to Mexico and killing people. And in order to get Hillary elected, they've got to convince you that the Benghazi problems are just a hoax. It's all coming up this hour on the Savage Nation, including, by the way, how about a band calling itself a racial slur and being told by the government they can't do it? What? Well, that's a crazy story. We got to get it to you. First, 2 dead, 2 injured, shooting at Nevada Middle School, Sparks Middle School, Sparks, Nevada, just outside of Reno, and math teacher Michael Lansbury, 45-year-old military veteran, tried to stop it. It was outside the school, on school campus, early in the morning. He said, "Put the gun down," according to the students who were there. Aimed the gun at this teacher, killed him. Shot 2 others. Then turned the gun on himself. That's all we know. We still don't have the details out of this story yet. And the one detail I'm getting to, before everybody tells us that we need more gun control, is here's a military veteran still in the guard, and he couldn't defend himself and defend those students with anything but his bare hands. Why? Because we say we want to make schools a gun-free zone, which, of course, they're not, because people who are willing to murder you are willing to violate a law. And somehow that's what the liberals never understand, and that's why, as Dr. Savage says, it's a mental disorder. Liberalism. Let me get Alan in from Reno. Alan, I know you're just outside of Sparks, Nevada. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Sparks is just east of Reno. It's about half the size. Hard to tell where one town begins and the other ends. But I got a couple points to make. One is that my wife and I got back from Denver, Colorado last year to find out that the Aurora Theater incident had happened. And we had our guns with us. And we thought, you know, had we been allowed to go or decided to stay another night and go to see that Batman movie, we probably would have carried our guns with us, even though we have our Nevada concealed weapons permits, and Nevada teaches an 8-hour course, which includes live fire shooting, but Colorado chooses not to recognize Nevada. So for us, that theater would have been a gun-free zone.
Well, Alan, not just for you. Hang on a second. Not just for you. In fact, even though that town allows concealed carry, that particular movie theater was a, quote, gun-free zone. And many people believe that that's why the killer targeted that particular theater, because there are other theaters in the area that do allow you, if you're a concealed carry holder, to carry. So there's another incident where, as crazy as that man seems to be, he chose the right theater.
Gun-free zones are very dangerous, including Costco. Even though I choose to carry in Costco, they never know because it's concealed.
Yeah, and that's a decision that a lot of people have to make. Are you willing to violate their law or rule that you can't carry in their facility, and then if you get caught, maybe even lose your CCW? Or is it more important to carry and hey, they're never going to know anyway, and I'm going to defend myself? Good point. And Alan, isn't your wife a teacher as well? Is that what I see up here?
My wife, she is a public school teacher and has been for close to 20 years, and she is a CCW instructor and has been for close to 20 years. And after the incident in Connecticut, we had decided to offer free training for anyone who could get written permission from the principal of their school to be able to carry while they're in the school. And mm-hmm. We haven't got anyone from the county that we live in, which is Washoe County, here in Reno and Sparks, but we've had someone from California who was had written permission, and someone from, I think it was Churchill County, which is also in Nevada.
So your wife is not allowed to carry at her school?
What's that?
Your wife is not allowed to carry at her school?
If she were to gain permission for the person in control of her school, she would be able to, but...
Right, but she's not right now, is what you're saying. I got you. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, but we're going to hear again, it's time to ban guns. But see, that's not going to do it. It just isn't. I mean, you look at the reality of the situation, and you look at the fact that in this country, first of all, they keep saying, well, no, we're only talking about AR-15s, but then it turns out, well, it wasn't an AR-15. It doesn't look like it was in this one. Doesn't look like it was in the U.S. Navy Yard. We, in fact, know it wasn't. And even if it is, well, then they'll just move to a handgun or a shotgun. And there are actually way more people killed with handguns than there are rifles in this country. It's like 1%. And less than that when you talk about so-called assault rifles, which are really just semi-automatic rifles that look more like military weapons, but they're not. So what they really, if you follow their logic to stop the so-called senseless shootings, then with you know, military weapons, which they aren't, what they really would have to do, if you follow the logic, is get away all the guns and take away your Second Amendment right, really, truly, if you want to stop the killing. But even that wouldn't work because there's so many that only the criminals would keep them. And that's what always happens when you try to restrict gun ownership. The law-abiding people agree to that, the criminals don't, and then you're really outgunned. But other than that, it's just a perfect plan. Let me get Stuart in from Ocala, Florida on this. Stuart, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, how are you this evening?
Doing well.
Okay, well, you know, back when Katrina happened, we had a situation where we had a helicopter and we volunteered to go up to New Orleans and volunteered to help with the rescue efforts, and we flew the helicopter. We were not, even though we're all concealed carry weapons permit holders, we were not allowed to carry our weapons on the helicopter due to FAA regulation. We started to drop off supplies to people that were sitting on their roofs and so on and so forth, and we got shot at.
That just shocks me. Why? I mean, I know you didn't get to ask the guy because he's shooting at you, but I cannot even imagine. You're there to help people. You're dropping off, you know, things to help people, and they're shooting at you?
We apparently were not dropping off supplies on the right roofs.
And
so the people that had guns were shooting at us in order to try and get us to, you know, drop supplies up on their roofs. And the bottom line is, you know, we're there trying to help people. We're going to come back to other roofs. But, you know, we're not going to get to yours right now. And well, my issue is...
Yeah, go ahead.
People shouldn't be able to carry guns that aren't allowed to carry guns.
And yes, and there you go, Stuart. And here's the thing, and that's what's tough, is the problem is we keep talking about more restrictions on legal gun owners when what you really need is the restrictions on the people who shouldn't have the gun in the first place. And so what you're going to do is restrict the people who have done nothing wrong, and the people who are carrying them illegally are going to keep doing it anyway. That's always the problem with this stuff. They're going to find their guns, if they want to, illegally. So we're going to hurt the people who should have them to go after the people that shouldn't have them, and the people that shouldn't have them are still going to have them. Oh, a great plan. Just a great plan. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com online. And, you know, here's the thing that when the National Rifle Association put out, you know, maybe we should have armed guards at these schools. Well, what do we want, to live in a prison? But did you know 30% of the schools in America already have armed policemen in them? 30%. And you know what else? The school that President Obama sends his two daughters to, they have a security team. Several of them are armed. Whether or not President Obama's daughters were going to go there, they already had that security team at that private school. I'm not even counting the Secret Service people. And obviously we want the president's children to be protected, and they should have armed Secret Service people around them. But why is it that those children at that very expensive private school in D.C. have a private security team, some of them armed, and yet if you talk about doing that at the public school, somehow you're a crazy person? Does that make any sense to you? Let me get Matt in from KSFO. Matt, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for taking my call. I live in California, where it's obviously impossible to conceal weapons permit. And every night, all you hear about is, you know, a shooting in Oakland, three people killed in Oakland. I mean, it's almost not even news anymore. I went to college in Utah, got a concealed weapons permit, and just the how it works in Utah is amazing. It's just there's really no crime. There's no mass shooting. So when we're putting all these rules and regulations on people from buying handguns, you know, we're making it harder for people who can have the ability to get trained and get a concealed weapons permit to protect themselves. And the people who are going to go out and do illegal things and go out and kill people, they're not going to go and buy a gun legally just like you and I are. They're going to go out and get it illegally or some other way. So making all these rules and taking all these guns off the street, you know, the criminals are still going to have it. They're not going to turn them in. They're going to keep them. So it doesn't make any sense putting all these laws and rules and regulations into place.
Exactly. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, we've seen it time and time again, and we've even seen it with some of these mass shootings. Stolen from a relative, taken from a friend, or bought legally because we haven't done enough to really track somebody who is severely mentally ill, and taking away your AR-15 from a legal person is not going to change any of that. Appreciate all the great calls. I got to get you into what's going on with this Obamacare thing. The president speaking at the Rose Garden saying, hey, you know, the website really stinks, but you can call us or even mail us your application. What? I'll get you the details on that and some great audio in just a second. You can chime in with us as well. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com gets you in. And, yo, President Obama gave his big speech in the Rose Garden today to tell you how great Obamacare is if you can just make it through the website. But, of course, you can't. And of course, it's not great once you get past the website. This is the thing I want to make sure people take away from this. I've been saying it from day one. I don't care if healthcare.gov worked perfectly from day one. I don't care if tomorrow all of a sudden it's awesome. That's not the big problem with Obamacare. Now, this is symptomatic of the problem when the government tries to do this kind of stuff. I mean, they did a no-bid contract to a company that shouldn't have been doing it to begin with. They didn't test the thing. They weren't ready. They knew it wasn't ready. They did it anyway because they had to roll it out because they need people to buy this insurance, and they need healthy people to buy it to pay for everybody who is sick that buys it. So they had to get it moving. They couldn't delay it, but it wasn't ready. But that's just a tiny symptom. The real problem is Obamacare itself. The people who are being priced out of their current insurance plan, thousands are going to lose their plan, though they were told they wouldn't. Thousands are going to lose their doctor. And when you get to these Obamacare exchanges, you know, some of these, they're leaving out, it's a $6,000 deductible for some of these plans, beyond the premium, and then a $6,000 prescription drug deductible. So there's $12,000 right there out of your pocket before you actually start having anything paid for, plus your premiums. You know, depending on what your income is, of course. So you start adding all this stuff up, the people that are going to be cut back to 30 hours, the people who are not going to get an increase in salary because the company has to spend all the money they would have been able to give you in a salary bonus, they have to use that to pay for the health care costs that are going up. I mean, on and on we go with the problems of this. And yet they're trying to, well, just hold on a little bit. It's just because it's so popular. That's the problem. Let's hear Senator Durbin cut two from the weekend shows. Senator Durbin on Obamacare.
In just a short period of time, 17 million Americans have tried to log on to this website. A half a million, I'll dispute some of your earlier claims, a half a million are moving towards signing up for health insurance. This is a popular program. Let's make it work better.
This is a popular program. Really? Compared to what? The plague? It's a popular program. 17 million people have tried to log on. Well, actually, it's 19 million now, supposedly. But they can tell you, 19 million unique hits, right? Half a million are, I love this, moving towards signing up. Well, how many have signed up? We can't tell you. You can't tell us or you won't tell us? Yes. Well, that wasn't a yes or no question. They won't tell you. They won't tell you. There's two options. Both are bad. One, they don't know. It's such a horrible website, they can't even tell you. Or number two, it's so pathetically low, they don't want to tell you. It may be a combination of the two. Because we're also being told by people who have tried this and by people who work some of these exchanges that the federal exchange, they aren't working at all. But in the states that have the state exchanges, there's are working to some degree, and that's where people are actually getting to sign up. And we're also told that even once you get in and you're trying to sign up, that then there's more glitches inside of that, and that might make it so they don't know who really is signed up and really who isn't. And yet Obama told you, you're already benefiting from Obamacare. What? You can't even sign up. How are you benefiting? Well, you're paying the fine already. Oh, tax. Wait a second. Is it a tax or a fine? Oh, wait. It has to be a tax because that's what the Supreme Court said we could do. These are just the technical problems. We haven't even gotten into the real problems yet of what's going on with this thing. And now the White House spokesman has come out telling Jake Tapper over at CNN that, well, you know, we don't know if the website will be fixed by March or not, but that phone service is great. Sign up with the phones. Will the website be up and running? Can you promise by December 15th or by the March deadline? Either one of the dates? Can you, yes or no, can you promise? White House spokesman Simas. Well, yes, between the website and all the other ways that people have to sign up, Tapper, that wasn't really the question. Well, and then he gets back to, well, the phone, and then maybe by mail, and then maybe, you know, Pony Express, and maybe Telegraph, and Morse code, and... What year is this? What are you talking about? They have totally botched it. And let me tell you something, even the liberals are mad because they're botching it so badly, they might not be able to convince you that socialized medicine is the way to fix it. My name's Greg Knapp, and for Michael Savage. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, he starts the Drive Time show, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Do not miss a minute of it. Find out exactly where and when the Savage Nation will be in your area. That's a big move for Dr. Savage. Very happy for him. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com to find more of these stories. You know, I'm going to get your calls on Obamacare in just a second, but I got to throw this out to you. Cheryl Atkinson, CBS News, she's been working hard on the Fast and Furious story. She's worked hard on the Benghazi story. She's gotten in a lot of trouble for it at CBS and with the White House. Well, she has a new report out. And she said she was able to get a Justice Department significant incident report filed last Tuesday. It's about a drug cartel shootout with Mexican police in Guadalajara last week. It killed three policemen, four cartel members. At least 10 hand grenades were used. Now, why do you care about that? Well, as IBD points out, it's grenade walking just like it was gun walking. And see, we had this guy. His name is Jean-Baptiste Kingery, an alleged firearms trafficker. He was allowed to operate by our people for years without being arrested, even though there was evidence he was supplying the cartels with massive amounts of grenade parts and ammo. Now, it's not directly part of the whole Fast and Furious deal, but Atkinson's report shows the same people that were overseeing the Fast and Furious deal oversaw allowing this guy to keep going back and forth from Mexico to the United States of America. Weird, isn't it? Documents show they, ATF, developed a secret plan to let him smuggle parts to Mexico in early 2010 and follow him to his factory. Now, some of the ATF agents didn't like it. They said, wait a second, this guy will disappear as soon as he crosses into Mexico. And, of course, that's what happened, says Cheryl Atkinson in her report. Then, in January of 2010, he was again under ATF surveillance. He bought about 50 grenade bodies. It's the main part of the grenade, right? And headed to Mexico. Now, 6 months later, he was caught leaving the U.S. for Mexico with 114 disassembled grenades in a tire. So here's a guy taking grenade parts to Mexico, hidden in a tire. And what do? We let him go. Huh? He's suspected of smuggling the parts for as many as 2,000 grenades into Mexico. There were at least two times that he could have been prosecuted in the United States. Each time, the prosecutor in Arizona said, nah, don't worry about it. U.S. Attorney for Arizona at the time, Dennis Burke, one-time Obama campaign donor, oversaw Fast and Furious. His assistant, Emery Hurley, been transferred now. But the sources tell Cheryl Atkinson and IBD that Hurley is the one who let Kingery go. Why? Well, grenade parts are, quote, novelty items. The case lacked jury appeal. How many Mexicans are dying over this? Who knows? Hey, you know, listen, these are phony scandals. It isn't nothing to worry about. I mean, there's a piece of those Media Matters people. David Brock has written an e-book called The Benghazi Hoax to defend Hillary Clinton. Like, now, see, these are phony scandals. There's nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. Of course, there's another Fast and Furious going on, slightly different, in Afghanistan now. Reuters reporting an Afghan Army Special Forces commander defected to the Taliban in a Humvee truck packed with his team's guns and high-tech equipment. Told them all to take five. They left, and he took off with all the stuff and went over to the Taliban. A little Fast and Furious Afghanistan style. Great. Let's get back to some of your comments on on Obamacare as well. I got Ron on line one calling from Canada. Ron, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about with you?
We're doing great. We're glad you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Greg filling in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
All right, well, the Republicans got to wake up in your country. Get a website set up, have the most elaborate cameras you can get, set it up like a news website, and go with Obamacare. Let him go and fall on his face really hard, because it's not going to work. People in the States don't know this, but in Canada, just like each of your state pays taxes, half of each provincial province in Canada puts their money into Medicare on top of hundreds of billions of dollars from the federal government, and we're only 30 million people. That's how we get our free health care. It's not free by any shot.
And also, Ron, throw in the fact that, you know, you don't have to spend as much money on the military because we are.
Exactly. Yeah. You go really hard on your military, and we do some military stuff, but
Yeah, but not even close to what we do. And it's because we defend the world. So if you don't have to spend that kind of money there, you can spend it on your health care. But, Ron, we're told that people like you love it in Canada. Michael Moore made the movie telling us how great it is in Canada. Are you telling me there's some problems?
Well, do you believe Michael Moore?
I was being a little sarcastic there, Ron. Yeah, I mean, from what I've read, I mean, you know, your health care is great for little things and maybe when you're not sick and maybe depending on where you live. But in many areas, there's a 6-month waiting list just to see the specialist, let alone start to get the treatment.
No, it's not that. It's you have no money because, sure, you don't have to pull out your credit card when you go to the hospital. But there's so much tax to pay for it from federal and provincial governments, you have no money. I have
right.
money.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. I appreciate it. You're giving us a little insight into it. And like I said, it depends on where you live in Canada, because I have read all kinds of reports about there are certain places in Canada that you get in pretty quickly to see somebody. There are other places in Canada that you have to participate in a lottery in order to get a physician to see your family. In other places, you have to wait 6 months just to see the specialist, even if you have something that may be brain cancer, for goodness sakes. And people were coming across the border to America paying out of pocket because they didn't want to wait 6 months. So, yeah, it's great until you get sick. And there's an article out of Slate today that says Canada has death panels, and that's a good thing, Adam Goldberg. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Well, okay, let me get Randy in on line 7. Randy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, it's the first time I ever heard you on the radio, man. You sound great, man. You got a great
voice. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I want to say something. You know, I'm shocked. I'm actually shocked that they're kind of rolling out this Obamacare before the 2014 election because, you know, everything's about the 2014 election, okay? Because if they can take the House in 2014, and they have the Senate, they're going to have that, okay? And then, of course, they got the presidency. You know that little amendment about a president not being able to serve more than 2 terms? See, Barack Obama's a dictator, okay? He's a dictator as we speak right now.
Right, so what you're saying, Randy, is that you can't believe that they're actually putting this thing forward because it's falling so hard on its face that it's going to blow the whole plan of taking over the House, keeping the Senate, and then having Barack Obama do whatever he wants to for the next 2 years. I think it's a great point. I don't think he's going to be able to amend the Constitution. I know a lot of people do. I don't think there's a chance. There's not a snowball and a hot plate's chance as long as you've got the Tea Party in operation that is going to be allowed to happen. I don't think the citizens will put up for it. You look what happened with the barricades with the National Park Service, and I think there is a huge amount of Americans who are willing to do civil disobedience and beyond if anything like that even starts to get out of control. But I think you have a great point that how is he going to let all this happen before the 2014 elections? And that's where some people think he's not just going to delay the mandate for a year. He can't because he needs healthy people buying the insurance to make this thing work. The only thing he could possibly do is delay the whole thing for another year past the 2014 elections, keep the taxes coming in, and he can tell you how great it still is. But I think it's too late for that now. And this is why even the liberals are upset, because they see it's going to hurt them in the elections, and they see it's going to hurt their chance for socialized medicine. Listen, everybody knew this was the first step towards socialized medicine, but you had to have it work well enough that people liked the health insurance, that they had it, that then it was just the cost they were worried about, and then you could say, well, we can make it even cheaper if we just make everybody get into the system under the single-payer plan, then we can make it cheaper for the lower middle class, the poor people, and maybe even some of the middle class if we can find enough of other people's money to do it. But when you blow it this badly out of the gate, then people aren't going to want it. And it's going to make it really hard for them to get the socialized medicine that they want. That's why the people are upset about this. They're really freaking out about this on the left. And they're doing everything they can to fix it. But they couldn't even get people in the White House Rose Garden today. Out of 13 people, only 3 of them actually have signed up all the way for Obamacare, according to the White House website. The other 10 are just, you know, they're exploring their options. They're looking into it. I'll get you more details on that, man, because that is crazy. And they're talking about, well, Sebelius needs to step down. Kathleen Sebelius needs to step down. That's the big problem. Does anybody think that's going to change anything? Kathleen Sebelius is the problem here? No, she's doing what President Obama wanted her to do. They went and hired people that couldn't do it. They thought they were smarter than everybody else and could do this no-bid contract. They thought it was no problem running one-sixth of our economy. Oh, we'll have no problem whatsoever. Everything will be done on time. And even when their own people are telling them there's a problem, Henry Chow, by the way, HHS official in charge of technology for Obamacare, Wall Street Journal pointing out, this guy even told us in March his team had given up trying to create, quote, a world-class user experience. He said his main goal was trying to just make sure it's not a third world experience. Well, he failed. And he won't testify in front of the Congressional Commission. Sebelius won't testify. Well, she will next week. As long as she doesn't hit her head or have to travel out of the country or, you know, all kinds of reasons that she might not be able to testify. But this thing, they knew it was messed up, but they had to push it forward because they had to get people starting to buy this thing to make it work. So Sebelius is attending a gala. She was at Kansas City at a Bonnie Raitt concert, but she can't testify in front of Congress. Well, next week she will now. She promises she will next week. But even if she's gone, do you really think that's going to change anything? She's just going to be the fall person. I think she's too high up because I think Obama, with his signature achievement of Obamacare, cannot allow somebody this high up to be fired because then it looks like he blew it. And I think he's not going to be able to allow that to happen. But even if she was gone, he's just going to put somebody else in there that will do exactly what he tells him to do. Listen, this is like, here's my analogy. All right, if you put a different captain on the Titanic, would it have changed things? Well, if that captain was willing to look and see an iceberg and steer out of it, sure. But if it's a captain with the same mindset that, hey, this is unsinkable, it doesn't matter what happens, we're plowing right through, then you're still going to hit the iceberg and you're still going to sink. Now, do you think no matter who is put in charge of HHS, do you think that person's going to say, well, this doesn't work. We need to delay this for a year. We need to start from scratch and fix this thing. Or do you think it's going to be somebody sent in there to do exactly what Sebelius has been doing? It's not going to matter. It's just going to give him a little bit of breathing room to say, look what I did. I got rid of that person that really blew it. I don't think it matters at all. This is the stuff. This is what we've got to get to. It's not just the website. It's not just Kathleen Sebelius. It's not Henry Chow. It's not this person, that person, this website. It's the entire thing. And this is why people like you and me and Ted Cruz and the Tea Party have been trying so hard to stop this. That's why Dr. Savage has been talking out about it for so long, that this will not work. Well, you just don't want people to have insurance. No, there's so many better ways to do this with a free market system that could really help people get health care without destroying them for the rest of us. But that doesn't get us to socialized medicine. That doesn't get us to the big government Obama wants. That doesn't get him and our government to control more of what you do. Because they're smarter than you, don't you understand? They know how to work this. Right. That's what they've been showing us. That's why Obama's approval ratings now are down to the lowest ones that George W. Bush had. While they're trying to tell you that it's a very popular program. Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, michaelsavage.com. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, my name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And one of the things we started the hour with was what happened to Sparks, Nevada. Now, we still don't have all the details on exactly why this student decided to shoot people at the school. We don't know. We do know he turned the gun on himself after he killed a teacher. And the teacher is a former military man who was trying to save the students. And he was unarmed. And so what happens now? Well, I've got Ryan calling from Sparks that has some interesting information on it. Ryan, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
How are you doing, Greg?
Doing well.
Well, I've never called a radio station, so you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little anxious or a little nervous, but I thought I have some information that I think most people should have.
Sure, go ahead.
Our kids went to a spring break from the 14th through the 18th. On Friday the 11th, the school district around here showed a bullying movie where a young man who had been bullied brought a gun to school and shot about 20 kids in this little video. This was the last day of school before they went on break. I have an employee that has a girl that was in the same home class as the kid that brought the gun to school today. He saw the same video that she did. The very first day back from the break, he brought the gun to school and shot the kids and the teacher. It's not about guns. It's not about a lot of things that people are trying to make this about. What it's about is what our kids are being taught and shown in school.
That's a very interesting point of view there, Ryan. And you know, there was a story I had last week, and I can't remember exactly which university did this, but one of the professors decided to study these anti-bullying programs that you're talking about in the schools. And he thought he was going to show how much they have been helping in reducing bullying. What he found was the schools that had these anti-bullying programs actually had an increase in bullying. And what his theory is now is that the children there who were already bullying or had a propensity to bully, when they saw these bullying videos, they learned how to bully better. They were watching these kids bully, and they were even watching how these kids were able to bully through cyberbullying and ways that they could get around the teachers, and they were seeing this in the bullying material, and it actually increased the number of bullies. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, that maybe this was actually teaching the bad kids how to do it better. And that's pretty scary. I'll tell you what. The whole idea of being anti-anything and having a campaign to anti-something, I disagree with. Because whatever you focus on, you get more of. This goes back to my counseling, mental health counseling again. What you focus, you get more of. We should not be focusing on anti-bullying. We should be focused on treating each other the way we want to be treated. Positive, not negative. And the other thing is, we've got to let kids stand up for themselves to stop the bullies instead of expecting government to do it or our teacher to do it or the school system to do it. When I was in seventh grade, I got in 13 fights. I didn't start a single one of them. I was a skinny, small kid with pimples and braces, and I looked like I was a target. And I got into 13 fights because my dad told me you cannot let people just hit you. So I fought back every time, lost every single fight, but never the same person twice. And after 13 fights, they quit picking on me because it wasn't worth it to pick on that kid because he's crazy. Because he'll keep fighting until you knock him down enough times. And I got some good hits in. And I'm not saying, well, Greg, violence is the answer. Sometimes. You know what? Violence was the answer to Hitler. Violence was the answer to Mussolini. Violence was the answer to, you name the dictator. Right? Sometimes it is. God bless the peacekeepers. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. I mean, sometimes you need that. And sometimes we need to let kids stand up for themselves and stop the bullying. But what we tell them now in too many schools is, if you get in a fight, you're both suspended. But he started beating me. I was just trying to defend myself. Doesn't matter. What a load of crap that is. No, if you're my kid, and I've told both my daughters this, somebody hits you, you hit them back. You defend yourself. That's how you stop bullying. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage. Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. We're going to get all the details on what's wrong with Obamacare. Not just the glitches, as they call them, in the website, but all the problems. And Obama's out in the Rose Garden trying to sell you stuff. And he is the used car salesman that you always ran away from. But now he's the sham wow guy, too. Hey, Obamacare's not just a website. It's so much more. Call us today. Oh, wait, the phone doesn't work. Get on the email right now. Oh, wait, the website doesn't work. Send us a package right now. And wait. We'll get to the details on that. Jay Carney in big trouble at his White House press conference after Obama spoke, won't answer the questions. Then we'll get a story off the MichaelSavage.com website where the L.A. Times is saying they will no longer print some of these anti-man-made global warming letters because they're just so obviously factually wrong. Oh, really? And there's a band of Americans of Asian descent, and their name of the band that they're trying to patent, they're being, trademark, that they're trying to trademark, they're being denied from our federal government the right to trademark it. Wait till you hear why. All that and more coming up this hour on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. MichaelSavage.com, 855-400-SAVAGE, in for Dr. Savage. Let's get right to it. You know, over at National Journal, they're saying, here's why Obama should be freaked out over Obamacare. It's worse than we know. This is the easy part. And millions of Americans could be hurt. Oh, really? You know, what I love about this is now, all of a sudden, the media's getting in and telling you what people like me and Dr. Savage told you from day one. We were the ones that told you, you're not going to be able to keep your doctor. You're not going to be able to keep your insurance. Thousands, maybe even millions of you won't be able to. See, because even if you change one little thing on the current insurance plan you have, then you have to do all of what Obamacare tells you to have to do. Premiums are going to go up for more people than it's going to go down. 45 states out of 50 for young men, their premiums are going up. Some people are going to be priced out of the insurance they currently have. Some people's premiums are going to double. Some will even triple. We told you all this. We said, yeah, there's going to be this board called the IPAB, and they're going to be able to decide whether the treatment your doctor says you should have is, quote, an efficient treatment or not. They'll decide whether you should get it or not, what Sarah Palin called the death panels. You know, they're not going to actively kill you. They're just going to say whether you deserve this treatment or not. Everything we told you is true. Oh, and, you know, because of these perverse incentives they have, some of you will lose your job. Some of you will have your hours cut. Some of you will not get a raise. Everything we've told you has turned out to be true. And you know what? The government doesn't know how to run this stuff. One-sixth of the economy, they're going to blow it. Everything we've told you has turned out to be true. Well, Obama was telling you just last week, you can't listen to those people on talk radio. We're the ones who've been telling you the truth. He's the one, it's been proven, has been lying to you, and he's still lying to you. Because they're telling you the real problem is just, it's just so popular. There's just so many people trying to sign up. That's why this has worked this way. As Ron Fournier puts out in his piece in National Journal, this is intentionally misleading. See, the White House has heard complaints from insurance companies, consumers, health policy experts, saying that there are big problems deeper in the online system, not just because it's, quote, too popular. There's inaccurate information provided to people about federal tax credits. Low-income people erroneously told they don't qualify for Medicaid. Insurance companies getting confusing information about who has and has not signed up. Yeah, it's not working. People aren't even being able to compare the insurance that they're supposed to be able to compare because they don't have all the numbers in. Doctors and other providers saying they haven't been told how much they're going to be reimbursed for providing certain care. So they can't even say, yes, I want to do it, because they don't know whether it's going to be profitable or whether they're going to be losing money while they see patients. You know, this is something that the government doesn't quite understand. But if you're losing money when you see patients, eventually you go out of business. See, private business can be shut down. Government can't. Well, you know, unless Ted Cruz is in charge. Oh, that was a cheap shot. No, I'm in favor of it. I like what he did. And he's not the one who shut it down. It's Obama and the Democrats that wouldn't bargain or negotiate or do anything. Said the administration refuses to say how many people have actually signed up. I don't think they know. Or if they do know, it's so embarrassingly low they can't tell you. And as Fournier points out, this is the easy part. I mean, the easy thing was to get people on a website. That's what Obama's people are good at. They're good at social media. They're good at the Twitter stuff. They're good at getting people signed up. You know what? In fact, hey, guys, let's play that Daniels covered ad, okay? It's cut 12. Cut 12 here is the Obama people putting out, letting you know how great it is once you get covered.
My name's Daniel, and I'm going to college for computer science. I enrolled in a plan on healthcare.gov, already had health insurance, but I just wanted to see if I could do a little bit better on the health insurance marketplace, and I did. Once I was on the site, it was pretty easy for me to compare plans. I was able to pick a much higher quality plan, and because of my income as a student, I only pay about $70 a month for it. Getting coverage this good at this price, I'm thrilled. And hey, I'm covered.
You can be covered too. Go to the health insurance marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Right, I mean, Daniel, there's no problem for Daniel. Daniel wasn't one of the people in the White House Rose Garden today. I wonder why. Because I think Daniel's not really signed up for Obamacare. I think it's just, you know, Daniel's acting. That's what you call that. It's, you know, and I love that I already had insurance. Yes, because you're a college student, and most colleges, until now, have had insurance plans for their students that has been very inexpensive because most college students never get sick. So it's been very cheap. And it was pretty easy once I got on the site. Oh, and it shows them just clicking through. I mean, you know this was all made up because nobody's been able to do that. This is the kind of stuff they do. Back to the National Journal article. This reflects poorly on the president. You think? Reflects poorly on the government. Yes! Could hurt Americans. Uh-huh. How sadly ironic it would be if Obamacare is denied a fair shake because of its namesake's mismanagement. And see, this is a guy who kind of likes Obamacare, and even he can't pull himself to say that this thing's been going right. No, look, this is just a symptom of the bigger problem. So even John Carl from ABC is talking to Jay Carney after the White House Rose Garden thing, which, by the way, out of the 13 people they had up there, only three of them have actually fully signed up for Obamacare. Imagine that. You're bringing up 13 human props, and only three of them have actually signed up. What does that tell you? They couldn't find 13 people who had signed up, who were good with a good mini bio that they could sell to the American people. That is crazy after 3 weeks. So John Carl from ABC News, not Fox News, not some crazy right-wing website like michaelsavage.com. No, this is ABC News. And John Carl is saying to Carney, wait a second now, if people can't buy this because this website's so messed up, how can you actually tax people for buying something they actually can't find? Right? Here's cut three.
John. Let me make sure I've got that last part right. So, can we just say, given all the problems that we've seen with people trying to enroll in this program, is the White House going to be delaying the mandate?
That's not at all what I was saying.
John. I mean, why not delay them? You're going to charge people a fine for not enrolling.
And, of course, you wouldn't answer. Let me answer it for you, John. The reason they can't delay the individual mandate requiring you to buy health insurance is if they do that, the whole thing breaks apart. They need healthy young people to buy the insurance to pay for the sick people. They have to have it, okay? Now, all insurance companies do this through their actuarial tables, but what they do is they charge the sick people more because they're sick. But Obamacare tries to do away with that to a large degree, and so you got to charge the young, healthy people for the older, sick people. But if they refuse to sign up for it, you're in trouble. Or if they can't sign up for it, now think about this. If you are on hold for several hours, who's still going to be on hold? Only the people who this is their last resort for health insurance, right? The sickest people with the pre-existing conditions who are thinking this is going to be the best possible option they have, they will stay on hold. The healthy young person who's not sick at all, I'll do it later. Maybe I'll just pay the fine. Because you got to remember, too, how are they getting the fine? The only way they get a fine is that if they take it out of your tax refund. So if you don't even... You know, if you don't have a job where you're getting a tax refund because you don't have, you know, you don't have the withholding taken out and you got to pay at the end, they can't get your money. They need this. They can't say no to this. So Jonathan Carl tries to follow up because Jay Carney won't answer the question. Cut four.
You can't Jonathan really Carney. Charge people a fine for not getting health insurance if you don't fix this mess.
John, let me
get this website work, can you?
Yeah, you can't really fine people for something they can't buy, can you? And Carney still won't answer it. Really, cut five.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I have answered now, and will answer again. That people who
answer, if the website's not fixed, will people still have to pay the fine?
First of all, we're way still early in the process. So you're talking about a February 15th and a March 31st deadline. It is October 21st today. So let's be clear about that. We're 3 weeks in.
So he's not going to answer you. But here's the other thing. It's not a fine. Jay Carney should be schooling them. It's not a fine. As the Supreme Court told you, it's a tax. Because otherwise, it's unconstitutional. Right. And then John Carl asked Carney about, hey, why did we use CGI a Canadian firm to build this website. By the way, triple the cost that it was supposed to cost. And by the way, now we're bringing this tech search. Who's going to pay for the tech search? Because you've already spent all the money, and you're not getting any more approved by Congress. Where's this money coming from? And by the way, why aren't they giving you money back since they did such a horrible job on it? Why did you have that in the contract? And why did you use this Canadian firm that also was actually fired by a provincial health agency in Ontario, Canada? Didn't have an answer. They also asked, hey, was this Obamacare site beta tested before it was launched? No answer. No, it wasn't. This is just the beginning of the problems in this thing. We haven't even gotten to the big stuff yet. Are you kidding? Nope. Let me start with Debbie. Debbie, line one, you are on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
I think everything's going according to plan for Obama. It was never designed to work. It was designed to be horrible. Harry Reid came out today and said we're going to have to scrap it and go to single payer. That's their plan all along, single payer.
Wait, who came out and said single payer?
Harry Reid. It was on the news.
Yeah, here's the problem with that, Debbie. And tell me if you agree. I agree with you, the whole plan was single payer. That's what candidate Obama always said he wanted. Totally agree with you. Of course, he had to hide it in order to get it through. Kathleen Sebelius, same thing. However, the reason even the liberals are worried here is this bad of a train wreck this early is going to turn off the American people to the degree that they won't go along with it. You had to have it be somewhat successful so that people who were able to sign up and got the health insurance started to fall in love with it, even though, you know, a lot of us are having to pay a heck of a lot more and all the other problems that went with it. You had to have enough people saying this is great so that then they could say the only problem is it still costs too much, so then they could go to single payer. But when you start off this horribly, it's going to be very difficult to say the answer is more government. You had to have it work at least a little bit to be able to say the answer is more government. I got a little bit more on this, some details on what's going on with Kathleen Sebelius, what's going on with whether or not this thing can be fixed, how much money has already been spent, and, of course, your phone calls. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We're talking about how bad this Obamacare thing is and some of the crazy things that I haven't even been able to get to yet. When Jay Carney was asked, why did you use a Canadian firm for this? Here's the answer that Carney wouldn't say. And we've got this from
anonymous sources
that, well, they wanted to use a company that the Republicans couldn't subpoena them when it went bad. So they used a Canadian company. Really? That is criminal, if you ask me. That is outrageously scandalous. And yet, no bid contract to a Canadian company. By the way, it's supposed to cost $92 million. It's cost triple that so far. Wow. You know, my dad was in construction all his life. When he did construction contracts, there were penalties if he didn't have it on time, and there were penalties if he didn't have it done right, where he would have to pay them. So guess what? My dad got it done on time, and my dad got it done right. And if that meant they had to do overtime as they got close to the deadline, they did it. And if that meant my dad had to go in there and make sure that everything was done right himself, he went in and did it. They don't have anything like that. Nothing like that. Let me get Daniel in. Line 9 here, KSFO. He's got a very interesting point on this. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Great job, Greg. I'm impressed. I believe that the actual core purpose of this Obama website is a data collection portal. In other words, they're going to collect personal data on every person in the U.S., legal, illegal, working, non-working, whatever. And I would just love to see the system requirements and the architecture, because I'd be willing to bet my career that there are main feeds to the NSA computers, the FBI computers, and the IRS computers to establish a huge data bank like they've been trying to do.
Well, they also have talked about the whole register to vote thing that they're talking about tied into the system. You're talking about data. And Daniel, thanks for the call. It's very interesting because You look on this website, and most websites you go to, you can shop around. You can even put things in your cart before you have to make an account. I mean, that happens in a lot of places you go to. Before you have to tell them everything about yourself. They have the prices up there, and you can decide. That's not the case here. You have to give them all this personal information to create this account before you even get a chance to shop the different insurance packages. Well, you see, we need that information because we need to know how old you are, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you have a pre-existing condition. We need to know all this information before we can tell you, and your income, before we can tell you how much it costs. Well, couldn't you give us a ballpark? Couldn't you compare at least, you know, hey, here are the different levels and the different plans on these different insurance companies, the gold, the silver, the bronze, and here's the range of what it will cost depending on your income level. You couldn't just put that up there without us having to give you all of our information first? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? There is so much to worry about in this. I mean, I've just scratched the surface of the problems with this. And we haven't even gotten to the bigger problems that are going to happen, the unintended consequences as this thing rolls out. And you're required to buy it, even though you can't really right now. Oh, man. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Michael Savage, the doctor on the Savage Nation, and you can chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to go back to your calls in just a second here. I've got people want to call in on Obamacare. People want to call in what happened at Sparks, Nevada, at Sparks Middle School, where we had the student shooting. Horrible story. We'll get you more details on it. But how about this one? The LA Times, Paul Fortin, editor of the paper's letters section, and this article is up at michaelsavage.com. He recently wrote a letter of his own, and he said he will no longer publish some letters from the people who are skeptical of man-made global warming. Because he said, you know, if it's just flat-out wrong, factually wrong, I'm not going to print it anymore. Saying there is no sign humans have caused climate change is not stating an opinion, it's asserting a factual inaccuracy. Well, what about the people that say it's proven that man has created the global warming? That's not a fact either. So if it's a editorial or if it's a letter to the editor, isn't an opinion? Well, yeah, but they say it's fact. Said in a word, according to a physics professor at Princeton, in a word, the LA Times should be ashamed of itself. Okay, isn't that three words? Ashamed of itself. Just roll with them. Physics professor at Princeton. He said there was an effective embargo on alternative opinions. Making it official really does not change things. That's Jan Breslow, head of the Laboratory of Biochemical Genetics and Metabolism at the Rockefeller University in New York. So you got a physics professor, you got a biochem person, you got 38 climate scientists that wrote a widely discussed letter titled No Need to Panic About Global Warming. That was in the Wall Street Journal in 2012. It said there's no compelling scientific argument for drastic action to decarbonize the world's economy. I bet the LA Times wouldn't print that one. So this guy's saying, no. I'm being misinterpreted here. I'm not saying I won't print any that say that man-made global warming is being overblown. I'm just saying I'm not going to print anything that's factually inaccurate. To say that no evidence exists when scientists have produced evidence is asserting a factual inaccuracy, and we try to keep errors of fact out of the paper. Well, isn't it theoretic evidence? I mean, it's really not factual yet. They haven't proven it yet, have they? So it's really not facts. It really is still theory. No matter what, especially since we keep showing that the planet hasn't warmed at all in the last 15, 16 years, and yet the LA Times will no longer print the letters to the editor that they believe are factually inaccurate about so-called man-made global warming. It's interesting, isn't it? All right, Max in Canada wants to chime in on what's going on with Obamacare and says maybe we should look north. Line two, Max, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Well, Mr. Knapp, thank you for taking my call. And just in terms of global warming, how much oil do you think is in northern Alberta in the Athabasca tar sands? How much oil do you think is there?
I don't know. I know it's a lot.
It's estimated, conservatively, to be 10 times as much as in Saudi Arabia, and there's even more in the adjacent province of Saskatchewan. Anyway, just getting on to the misconceptions that Americans don't understand about Canadian health care. This business of a six-month wait to see a specialist, what they don't understand is that 30% of Canadians have given up even trying to find a GP when you look at the documentation. So you don't even get in to see a GP. So this business of death panels and whatever, this is all academic. It's like the Nazis, where they make you fill out forms. You're delayed, and so your access to a specialist is a lot longer than 6 months. There is staging. I give them credit for that with the bureaucracies. If you do have something very serious, at least in this area, if you have a brain cancer, they get you in really quickly. But basically, like the role of the administrators is to parcel out limited resources. So anyway,
that's always the outcome, right? I mean, anytime you try and do something like this socialized system, you're going to run out of money and doctors and hospitals and space, and so you have to start rationing care. There's no other way around it. It happens every time. It's happened in Cuba, in Canada, in Great Britain, in Russia. Wherever they do it, they have to. There's no other option.
We have a case. If you can look it up, the guy's name, I think, is Brian Sinclair. A paraplegic was dropped off at the hospital for something minor. We'd centralized here. We have one major city. There's two teaching hospitals. The guy sat in the waiting room for 36 hours and died. he died in the waiting room after 36 hours. The nurses I just read thought it was a joke. They thought he was asleep. The security guard came over and said, the guy's dead. He says, no, he's asleep. That was 5 years ago, and the system has protected itself. That's the biggest role of democracy, is to protect itself.
Thank you, Max. I appreciate it. It's a little warning from Canada, but don't tell Michael Moore, okay? Everything's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. You know, because we're going to do it the right way. Because you can trust us. Because we're smarter than you. We're the elite leaders in the government. And look at how great our healthcare.gov site is. But it's going to get better. I mean, you can call it right now. You can call this number I'm giving. Oh, wait. It's busy? Oh. Oh, wait. There's a recorded message? Oh, wait. It's sending you back to the website? Oh. Well, you can mail us. You can mail us your application, and we'll get back to you. No, this is going to work. It's going to be great. Okay, just hang on. It's going to be awesome. Speaking of the shooting at Sparks Middle School in Sparks, Nevada, a military veteran, math teacher, shot and killed. And then the killer shot himself. And once again, it's a no-gun zone, gun-free zone. John in Missouri wanted to chime in this line 8. John, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about a burger joint here in, I live in Moberly, Missouri. It's kind of in the middle of Missouri. Small town, you know. And a burger joint here in town was actually robbed Friday night by a gentleman in the knife that kind of pushed through their door. And they aren't able to protect themselves because their boss doesn't allow them to carry a weapon. And even the guy that works there has a CCW, and he's not allowed to carry on the premises. And another issue, too, is if they try to interfere with somebody that is attacking them or try to be a hero, they lose their job.
Yeah, and I understand, John, what the employer will say is, well, here's the problem. If we allow people to carry and then that person harms one of our employees, will be sued. If we allow the person to try and help when there's an assault and he gets hurt, then we'll be sued. So we're trying to protect ourselves by doing this and trying to protect our employees by telling them to stay out of it. But, of course, the problem with that is, John, that now you're a sitting duck. And what I think is going to have to happen is the employees are going to start suing because they're not allowed to defend themselves, and then maybe we'll have some common sense. And sometimes you got to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for the call. I mean, our side doesn't like to sue. We don't like to sue. We just want to work it out. But if the people on the left sue all the time and scare the heck out of our employers and out of our schools and out of our legislators and everything else, then you have to fight fire with fire. At some point you have to, don't you? Because otherwise you're just caving in. You're unilaterally disarming. That's all you can do at that point. Let me get Lori in Tennessee on this, line 3. Lori, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. It's nice to talk to you. And I wanted to comment about the
the equal treatment between parties when something happens at school with the bullying, how it's really unfair. My 14.
Yeah, let me set that up again, Lori, so everybody knows what you're talking about. What we're saying is in most schools now, if there is a fist fight, both people are suspended. They don't care who started it, even if one is just trying to defend themselves. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Right. Okay, my son walked into his classroom, and he was standing next to a boy who's quite a bit bigger than him, and the boy kind of smacked him in the back of the head. So my son's like, oh, you know, we're doing this. So he kind of smacked him back, and the boy turned around, smacked him as hard as he could in the back of his head, then grabbed him by his shirt and punched him as hard as he could in the mouth where it knocked him over a chair, knocked him down. His tooth went through inside and out of his lip. And I was called to the office, and my child's bleeding from his mouth, and he's having to sit and process with the bully. Then I took him to the emergency room while the bully was allowed to stay in school the rest of the day, and nothing was happened. I was told if anything were to happen, if they were to be suspended, that they would have both have been suspended because they both put hands on each other. So
yeah.
I guess my son's just supposed to sit there and let someone smack him in the back of the head. Or
and what are we teaching our kid at that point, Lori? What we're teaching our kids is don't defend yourself. Don't stand up for yourself. Don't ever stand up for yourself. Because you're going to be punished the same way. And what kind of a message is that? Lori, thanks for the call. I told my kids no. I have two daughters. And I told my daughters, this is how you defend yourself. And if somebody hits you, here's you standing up for yourself. Because otherwise, we are creating victims. The wussification of America continues. We're creating victims. One of the reasons maybe that we're seeing more bullying in America, if we are, and I don't know that we are, that's what we're being told, but if we are, maybe it's because we're creating victims. Because we won't let kids learn how to stand up for themselves. We won't let kids learn how to fight for themselves. We won't let a fight work itself out so that maybe the bully gets hit enough times that he realizes he shouldn't do it. Oh, the violence is never the answer. Sometimes it's the answer. You know, here's what I would love to do one time. Now, I would never do this, and I'm not suggesting you do this. But you know, if you ever had somebody that would tell you, you know, violence is never the answer, and we've just always got to give peace. And by the way, peace is not capitulating to somebody else. That's servitude. But if you have somebody, you know, Greg, violence is never the answer. Bam! You just punch them in the face and knock them down. And when they jump up and they're about to hit you in the face, you say, wait a second, I thought you said violence was never the answer. Oh, you're right. Violence is never the answer. Let's calm down. Let's just talk. Bam! You punch them again in the face and knock them down to the ground. And they jump up and they're ready to come at you. You say, wait a second, you said violence is never the answer. Can't we just talk? Well, I'm trying to talk. You keep punching me. Well, let's just talk because violence is never the answer. You're right. Bam! Punch them again. How many times before they're going to give up and start trying to hit you? Sometimes violence is the answer. Sometimes that's all you can do. Let me get Mike in from Pittsburgh. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Thank you. You have to pardon me, I am pretty nervous, but I have three kids, and all three of them at an extremely young age have been recommended for psychotropic drugs. In my research, these drugs are horrifying. I looked into how many violent crimes were committed by these kids on these drugs. In almost every case, they're attached. And I was just wondering, what you thought about that as a psychiatrist.
It's a very good question, Mike. I got to tell you, first of all, I'm not a psychiatrist. I have a master's in counseling psychology, not a psychiatrist or a quote psychologist. Just have a master's degree in it. I will tell you this from the psychiatrists I've talked to, though, and from everything that I've seen, I think we way over-prescribe kids. I don't think there's a doubt about it. We are way over-prescribing these children. Now, do some kids need it? Yeah, I think some do. I think there are times when an antidepressant can help a kid. I think there are times when Ritalin can help a kid, but not nearly to the level that we're doing it. Okay, that's number one. Then there's this other thing. There's kind of a chicken and egg phenomenon because you would think if a child is mentally ill and is mentally ill enough to kill other people, he's probably going to be on medication, right? I mean, wouldn't you think that that's the kind of kid that probably needs medication along with counseling, along with maybe even inpatient treatment? So which came first? Is it that the medication created his violent behavior, or is he on the medication because of his violent behavior, or is it a combination of the two? And yes, there are people who have horrible reactions to these medications. And most of these medications that these children are on were tested on adults, not children. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of problems with the medicine we use and a lot of problems with the therapy we use. And we also, in our society, we are very careful to use inpatient lockdown facilities as a last resort because we want people to have their freedom. And unfortunately, that lets a lot of crazy people out. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I used to do intakes, overnight intakes for people in the lockdown facility, and I've seen some really crazy people, some people that were bozoed, man. I mean, just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and these are all official terms that are in the DSM-4. But, you know, you get to that level that you're saying, man, these guys need to be locked in. And what would happen, we get them in, we get them on their psychotropic medication, we get them in some therapy, the psychotropics kick in, they start to stabilize, they get to the point that you can release them into the general society. And then what happens? Well, all these drugs have side effects: weight gain, bloating, acne, dry mouth, nausea, dizziness, on and on we go. So when people are starting to feel pretty good, they're like, man, I don't want to take this anymore. They stop taking the meds, they decompensate, and the next thing you know, they're running down the street naked with a gun in their hand, and we're back to square one. It's not an easy solution. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it big time. Oh, I got to get to this before I run out of time. There's a band that wants to trademark a special name, and our government is telling them no. Wait till you hear why. We're going to get to it in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, he kicks it off, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, drive time. Do not miss a minute of the Savage Nation. You can go online to michaelsavage.com for great stories. We've been talking about a lot of them today. And 855-400-SAVAGE to join in. I got to get this, and I'll go back and talk to you. There's a band made up entirely of Americans of Asian descent in Portland, Oregon. They call themselves The Slants. Yes, that's right. They call themselves The Slants. And they applied for a trademark in 2009 with the patent office. See, they want to be able to use that name and make money on it, right? They want to have T-shirts and posters and bumper stickers, and they want to make money on it. And the patent trademark office said no. No. NPR reports that they told them no because it's a slur. It's a derogatory term used to refer to those of Asian descent. And the patent trade office told them, no. Well, the Slants said, wait a second, we're reclaiming the term. Just like Dykes on Bikes in 2005. They got their trademark. Why can't we? They also said it's a reference for musical chords. Hey, we've surveyed Asian Americans across the country about the offensiveness of the phrase, and it's not a big deal. They had a Duke University linguist analyze the word, but they were told no because of the Lanham Act, which forbids scandalous or immoral trademarks. Okay, now think about this for a second. We're now living in a country, the United States of America, that's supposed to have this First Amendment right. And we're saying you can't use a racial slur as a name. I think it's funny that this Asian American band says, we're going to reclaim this word. We're not going to let the people who would slur against us use this. We're going to reclaim it, kind of like NWA, which stands for Ends With Attitude. They did the same thing. What's wrong with that? Why shouldn't they be allowed to do that? In fact, if some white band wanted to call themselves the Slants, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that? Now, if you find it offensive, don't go to their show. Don't buy their CD. Don't buy their poster. That's the way the system's supposed to work, right? But now we're going to make words illegal? This is the United States of America. Like, really? What country am I living in? So then they tried again, and they said, we're going to make it race neutral this time. We're not going to tell them who we are. We just want to be called the Slants. And they still said no because we know who you guys are, and we know you're an Asian American band, and we know when people show up, they're going to know that it's a slur, and therefore you don't get it. To which they say, wait a second, so now you're telling us we can't do it because we're Asian. They're taking it to federal court. Wow. All right, let me get Josh in New Mexico on the Sparks Middle School shooting. Josh, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
Doing well.
I'll make a statement about the censorship you're talking about. The First Amendment rights, you know. I don't believe in censorship. And if they want to call themselves slants or whatever else, you know, go ahead. I'm not offended by it.
Yeah, let them do it. We got about 20 seconds for you.
How come every time these kids on the news that shoot up the schools and come on, the media portrays them as mental issues? Or...
Right, but we're out of time. But if it's a suicide, it's all about the bullying. That's a great question, although I think there's probably some mental illness in both if you really get down to the details of it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.